G'day team, hope this finds you well. Before we get underway, just reminding you that this is part two of a rather lengthy conversation I had with the great PT, the great man. Enjoy. I always tell people, whether or not it's with food or sleep or water consumption or training or stress management or whatever component of your health kind of paradigm we're talking about, do some science on yourself. Do some self-research. Yeah. Try something. Like, don't change 13 things at once because that's a terrible protocol.
That's right. But
let's change one thing for 10 days and see what happens, or one thing for 28 days. Let's do that and see what your body tells you, because your body's telling you something all the time, but you've fucking, you've blanked out.
Too much
you've switched
noise.
Off, right?
Too much noise. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's no, you don't need to be Paul or me to be able to go, I'm going to try a little personal trial. I'm going to not look at any computers. I'm not going to drink anything. I'm not going to eat anything after 7 p.m. every night. And I'm going to be in bed with the light off by 9, and I'm going to do that for a month. Or I'm going to double my steps per day for the next 28 days. I'm going to change nothing else, just that, and see what goes on. You know, since I stopped eating lunch, which was a year and a half ago, my health, I can't give a number, but to me, it's 20-25% better for a range of reasons. So I only eat breakfast and dinner, and maybe even a better model would just be eat lunch and dinner. But since I stopped eating through the day, my brain function, my ability to focus, my productivity, efficiency, communication, everything's better. Where at this time, we're now 4:41, I used to be hitting the wall. I'd be fucking sliding into a coma because I ate something at 1 or 2. In fact, normally it'd be earlier, 3 o'clock. Yeah. It's like I got fucking smashed with the exhaustion stick. Well, that literally doesn't happen. Like my energy, my brain energy, my body energy, you know, my ability to think clearly, do 7 podcasts a week, do a PhD, do presentations, do workshops, work with companies. You know, I still have my bad days, but it's not normal. Like my energy is not normal for someone my age.
And that's because you've developed metabolic flexibility that humans are supposed to have, that your body now has an ability to switch from burning carbohydrates to burning fat and ketones in the brain, right? And so it easily slips between those two things. It's when you're brought on a paradigm of you need to eat 3 meals a day plus snacks. And you know what? They only brought the snacks in because they told everybody to stop eating fat. And because they were eating then more carbohydrate, they were getting hungry because it was playing with their blood sugar. So they said, okay, we'll have snacks.
Yeah.
And it's bullshit. It's not the way that we're supposed to eat. We become metabolically inflexible. You become carbohydrate dominant. And then when you don't have calories, your stomach thinks your throat's cut.
Hilarious.
And it interferes with your brain. So yeah, we need to go back to as much as possible to say, how have we lived as a species?
That's right. And you think about the evolutionary timeline from whatever, 2 million years ago. But think about the way that we live as a species has changed way more in 100 years than the previous 3 million. Yeah, like in 100 years.
I know. It's crazy. And we've stopped adapting to our environment, and we've started changing our environment more and more. And we've now changed it to a point that we're no longer optimally matched to it. And this even comes with things, to bring it right back to the kids, with information overload. A kid like Oscar, if I was to give Oscar a phone, which he doesn't have, but if I was to give him a phone, he at 11 years old would have access to more information than a Rhodes Scholar 100 years ago. That's just wrong. That shouldn't be like that. Oscar should be thinking about some stuff around school, and then he should be thinking about how can I have some fun, and then he should be thinking about how far away is home? Because I'm now hungry.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
That's the stuff he should be thinking about.
Yeah, that's what he should be focusing on. And how do I get a better bike, and how can I bribe dad?
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, you think about an iPhone or any smartphone, it's not a phone. It's a tiny computer that happens to have a phone in it.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. And then you know, what happens now at the, we've also started screwing with the other end of our life, right? Not just the kids, is the other end of our life. Okay, so everything is about, I want to see it for retirement. And then lots of people retire and lots of people mess up their brains when they retire.
Yeah. It's, I mean, retirement's an interesting one because there's the retirement story that most of us have growing up or growing old or going through life, which is it's like this golden pot or this pot of gold that we get to, or this rainbow, or this place metaphorically that we arrive at where you deserve this, you know, you've worked like a whatever and now here we are and we just slide into our whatever. And but that, I actually was looking earlier today that just at some research, which you and I spoke briefly about this earlier today, but there's it like the impact on people's physical, mental and emotional health when they stop working for many people is super significant and detrimental. It depends on context. It, you know, if like my dad literally went from on a Friday managing a multi-million dollar shopping center worth probably $500 million, maybe more back then even, with multiple staff, multiple roles, super important in that little fishbowl, lots of stuff to do, lots of interaction, 50 hours a week of mayhem that he was in the middle of. He was the captain of the ship. That was Friday. And then on Monday, his biggest responsibility was his tomatoes.
Yeah.
Right? And that's just a fucking shit transition.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, because now you're not important. You're not needed.
Yeah. Yes.
You're not, you don't have responsibilities. You don't have to get shit done. There's no deadlines. Mm. There's no pressure. There's no, the social interaction dives drastically. So I think there's an art to retiring well, and I think we need to review the story that most of us have.
Yeah, look, there certainly is, and there's a big study done at Harvard around retirement, and it showed that there were, for people who retired in the next year, they had a 40% increased risk of heart attack or stroke.
Shit.
Right? Wow.
And then 40%, and then it leveled off right after that year. But people can retire well, right? So what you just highlighted with your dad is probably a lot of that's driven by lack of purpose and daily purpose and also lack of responsibility. I think responsibility is big. Stan Beecham, I interviewed him in my podcast. He was great. He's a clinical psychologist turned sports psychologist. And he said that the key that we must do in life is to, and I'm pretty sure I've got this right, he said, take on as much challenge and responsibility as you can handle, right?
Yeah.
And what happens often with retirement is all that challenge and responsibility goes. Now, some people do it really well. My father-in-law actually does it super, super well, right? So yeah. Dawn, I'm going to tip my hat to Dawn. He's in his 80s and he's 84 now, but he retired. He's a radiologist, right? He retired and he went to TAFE and did a course on pottery, right? Huh. So he's there with all these kids doing a course on pottery. So he's doing all of his pottery and he actually goes to some markets and sets up a little stall selling his pottery. And he knows it's not brilliant, but he's there and he's doing his pottery. He's got his farm where he does all his veggies. He has some grapes, you know, he's making wine, doing amateur stuff. He's learning all about how to do that as well. You know, he does social stuff. You know, he's him and his mates, they and you know, friends and family used to have all these dress ups. So they'd have fun and they'd have themed parties and stuff. And they, you know, they had one on MASH where him and his mates, you know, they built this Jeep and then they built this helicopter and stuff like that. So it's that keeping yourself busy. Yeah. You know, he's expanded his social life. This is the way that we should retire. Oh, the other thing that Don does every day when he's at home, he jumps in a freezing cold swimming pool every morning.
Wow. Right?
Jumps out and jumps in all year round, unheated pool.
Is that thanks to you?
No, he's done this. Carly said when I started doing cold showers, she's like, Jesus, you're reminding me of my childhood. My dad made me finish a shower with a cold shower when I was a little kid.
Wow.
I'm thinking, wow, that's pretty awesome, right? That's a good 40 years ago that he was doing that. But you think about it, it's you've got to do lifelong learning, right? Mm. That is key, because if the brain is not exposed to novelty, it actually starts to wither, right? Mm. So we need to be doing new stuff. Learning a new musical instrument, a new language are two of the best things that you can do. But just doing new stuff, just go and do an Open University course or a TAFE course or something like that, really, really key. You've got to have then also a sense of meaning and purpose. You've got to have a reason to get up out of bed every day. And a lot of that comes from responsibility. Is being responsible for something, right? Mm. I think is really key. And then you've got to have a good social life and travel, new stuff, right? Go and visit new things. You know, one of the worst things people do is they retire and they just, every day is the same, right? Yeah. It's like Groundhog Day. If your life is Groundhog Day, that is hurtling your brain towards Alzheimer's disease or other forms of dementia.
Yeah. It's so true. I mean, it's analogous to your body, right? You're not training it. You're not, you know, it's almost like, what is it? You know, it's muscle wasting of the brain. It's catabolic for your brain. You know, it's like, if we don't stimulate our body and train it, we lose muscle, we lose function, we lose, you know, all the things that come with that. And so too with the old, you know, with the brain, with the mind. And that's, but you see that across the board with, do you remember Jan and Ian Fraser, who used to train up at my job? Right?
I do. They were awesome.
Well, they're in their 80s and they're the same. I mean, he must be 80. Ian, God bless him. He must be 84 or something. Wow. He still goes mountain biking. And I mean, full on.
Yeah.
You know, and Jan still, they still both run. They run.
Wow. Wow. You know, there used to be a thing. We would get up, me and Oscar, when we used to go for a run in our old house. And most mornings we would see this guy, and he's got to be in his 90s.
Yeah.
And he would be out running, but he's shuffling.
Yeah.
Really slowly. But he would go up this big hill and he would do it every morning. We'd see them either on the way up or on the way back down. And when he went past us, you know, all he could do was just raise his hand a little bit to say hello. But we're thinking, how awesome is that, that guy's in his 90s and he's still out running? Like, that is so, so important. Ron Smith, I know you interviewed Ron Smith.
Yeah.
And my kids go boxing with Ron Smith. He's amazing. He's well into his 70s and he's as fit as a butcher's dog, right? But he's got one shoulder hanging by a thread, but he's still out there and he's still exercising and he just adapts his exercise. And this is the thing that a lot of people don't realize is that when you start to lose muscle, you actually disrupt your metabolism massively. And I know you're a massive fan of this. This is what I say to people, that as you get older, the most important thing you need to do is lift heavy shit, right? Because we need to stimulate that muscle to continue to exist, and particularly the fast twitch fibers that are to do with strength and muscular power, they're hugely important. And the reason being, I said to people, if you're in your 70s and you fall over and fracture your hip, you've got a 50% chance of being dead within 5 years, right?
Yeah.
And the reason people fall over and fracture their hip is that they lose the fast twitch fibers first, the speed and power ones. A lot of people think that's about lifting big weights. It's also, if you think muscular power is work done divided by times taken, force times distance divided by time, sticking your hand out quickly to stop yourself from falling or moving your foot quickly to regain your step, that is muscular power. And so it becomes increasingly important. And I say this, particularly any bloke who's over 50, like me and you, Harps, we are in andropause, right?
Yeah.
Which most blokes haven't even heard of, which just completely bamboozles me.
Yeah.
Like the middle age crisis, male crisis, it's andropause. That's what it friggin' is. Massive drop-offs in growth hormone, testosterone, and DHEA.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah. So for those who are going, what, say that again, it's basically the boy version. It's the man version of menopause, yeah. You know, so which ironically the women's one is called menopause. I don't really get
it. I never thought of that.
Yeah. 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 But it is true. We go through something similar and it affects, you know, like bone dense, like if there's no intervention or we're not doing something to slow it or stop it, we lose muscle, cognitive function can decline, depression can set in, bone density drops, balance, power, strength, all the normal activities of daily living, normal shit, getting out of a chair, all becomes harder. But the beauty of, I mean, and this is like some of the things that we can do are so fucking easy to do. Yeah, there's a bit of discomfort. It's not like, oh, you got to join a gym or you got to spend $1 million or you got to take 9 drugs a day or you got to go and do some course. No, you just fucking do some squats, do some body weight squats, do some push-ups against the wall and then progress to push-ups against the bench, then progress to the floor and do them from your knees. Then like there's so much stuff that we can do that requires no expense or no financial investment and no equipment, but we just don't start.
No, that's right. And if you don't start, it becomes a slippier and slippier slope. And then you lose function and then you get more injured and then it becomes difficult. And then somebody will say to you, oh, you just need to act your age. Right. And not do this silly exercise. And that's the worst. I've heard doctors say that to people. And I'd want to bloody throttle the doctors.
Yeah. Because that's one of my pet hates. Age-appropriate behavior. Fuck your age-appropriate behavior. Fuck your age-appropriate music and clothing and exercise.
You know what? I'm fucked. It was you who said to me more than a decade ago, we don't grow old because we stop playing. We stop playing because we grow old. And you can insert exercise for playing.
100%. Right. Well, that's, you know, I actually think.
Sorry, I said that the wrong way around. I think I might have said that the wrong way around.
Yeah.
We don't stop exercising because we grow old. We grow old because we stop exercising.
That's right.
That's so, the correct
but,
one.
But further than that, you know, if I had all the money and all the time, I would build a playground for people over 50. Ah. And on that playground, right, and it would be designed for people, rubber matting, all that, but just so people could do balance stuff and body weight stuff and maybe a bit of the normal strength training and, you know, where we're just training all of the components. Like I wish that 70-year-olds, fuck your balloon sitting on a chair, get out there and get a basketball and throw the basketball to each other.
Yeah.
Bounce it to each other. Use your left hand, use your right hand, stand on one foot, stand on the other foot.
Yeah.
You know, while you're washing the dishes, stand on one foot, stand on the other. You know, walk backwards. You got no hamstrings and ass. Walk backwards, activate your glutes and your hammies. Do you know what I mean? It's like there's so many things that we can do that, because so many people do almost nothing in terms of conditioning their body or improving their body after a set point. And, you know, I remember, you probably remember Pauline Grossman that I used to train, Grossy. Mm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Well, I started training her late 40s and her diet was essentially cake. And she wouldn't mind me saying this. And she used to call herself a Jewish princess, right? That's self-named, right? And gorgeous though, loved her, still love her. And she started training. She hit her stride in her 50s, right? And she went from being literally incapable of running 100 meters. I ran 2 half marathons with her. She ran a half marathon in about 2:30, which for someone who has very little athletic ability, right? She deadlifted 100 Ks, 220 pounds for 4.
Jeez.
Yep. Yep. Real deal. Not bullshit making up numbers. She deadlifted 100 Ks. She lat pulled 160 pounds or whatever that is, about 75 Ks. And I used to take her to the park in the last few, I trained her forever and I taught her how to kick a footy both feet. Wow. So she could kick a football both feet, handball a football both hands. And I'd take it to this playground, which was about 500 meters from Harper's, my gym.
I know the one.
Right? I know the one. And around that playground is timber log kind of fence. You know, those round treated pine poles? Well, before we could train, she had to walk. It was the equivalent of about 50 meters on the poles, right? Wow. When she started, she couldn't walk one pole. Like she'd walk 2 feet and fall down, right? And she ended up where she could just jump on and basically walk as long as I wanted her to walk. Now, this was as she was getting towards her 60s.
Yeah.
I started doing plyometrics with her. The box that I had her jump on was literally like 8 centimeters. She couldn't jump. She couldn't do it. She ended up jumping. So she went from there to about, I would say, 45 centimeters, so 18-inch box jumps.
Wow.
Right? Now, this is a woman who doesn't have awesome genetics, who wasn't athletically gifted, who had no training background as a child, who spent the first however many years, you know, eating cake. And obviously that's not the platform we want for people, but even at 50 and 60 with not a great kind of, you know, starting point, the body's still fucking amazing if we just train it.
Yeah, yeah. It's the inputs that you give it. And if you give it the input of sitting all day long, your metabolism will become destroyed. It's as simple as that.
I put this thing, sorry, mate, on, I don't know, somewhere yesterday, and I should find it, but it basically says, you know, so many people spend so long looking for, you know, the quick fix, the magic pill, the silver bullet, the, you know, instant gratification, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, essentially, you know, but nothing replaces work, just doing consistent work. So it wasn't groundbreaking. But one bloke who was a bit attitude, he goes to me, oh, yeah, but what supplements do you take? And I go, none. I go, but I have trained for 43 years virtually every day, and I've never been drunk, and I've never had a drug, and I don't smoke, and I don't eat shit, and I train about 363 days a year though, right?
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like people, it is, I'm not saying it's easy, but it's like some things are hard-ish, but they're certainly not complicated. Mm. Like walking up a hill, it's not complicated. It's uncomfortable, but it's not complicated.
That's right.
You know, removing shit from your diet, it's not complicated.
Yeah.
Don't buy shit. Don't put it in your house. Don't put it in your gob. Don't fucking chew it. Don't swallow it. It's very straightforward.
Mm.
But we love that instant gratification, and that need for that, you know, that quick fix gets in the way.
Look, it's massive. And all of the selling of the quick fixes, right? Mm. Which are the things that people go to because they don't want to put in the work. Yeah. And a lot of people will say, you know, I just don't have the motivation. And this is the thing, motivation follows action, not the other way around, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of people think that action comes when the motivation fairy comes along and gives you a big dollop, but that's not the case. And just like you said earlier on, I like to say to people, be your own scientist, run experiments, right? Just get started.
Yeah.
Just pick an experiment, run it. And when you see some benefits, you will get more and more motivation as you go. When you're writing that stuff down and you're ticking it off and you're journaling and you're reflecting in the end of the evening what you did that day, that's the stuff that's going to give you the motivation to continue. But a lot of it is about just getting started. And I'm a massive fan, as you are, as to just be your own scientist. Just run some experiments just to see what happens. Get some data. And if the experiment doesn't work, tweak the experiment. Try another experiment.
And yeah, I love that. And I also think, like, I was talking to somebody recently and she said essentially this. Yeah, but like, I just struggle with, you know, she's like, but how do I get started? And I go, well, you get up tomorrow and you work out, right? And I go, the question's not how do I, the question is why won't you? Like, why won't you? Because how you do it is tomorrow you get up and you do what you didn't do today.
Yeah.
So tomorrow, like the how is put on your runners, put on your tracksuit or your shorts and go for a walk or do some, that's the how. But what people actually want is the how do I get the result without the work?
Yeah.
Like, because You have to get your fucking head around the truth that this won't be fun, quick, easy, or painless. Mm-hmm. Now, until you're willing to pay that price, get another goal. Mm. Like, think about something else. Yeah. Because if you don't want to, like, this reward without work thing, it's good when you're trying to sell shit, but it actually doesn't work in real life. That's right. You know, this destination without the journey, good luck with that. It's not happening.
It's so true. It really is. And you know, I'll say to people who say, oh, I can't do this or I can't do that, or I've tried, I say, right, well, so run an experiment. If somebody breaks into your house, holds your children and your husband or wife or spouse or whoever, all the people you love hostage, and says, I am going to behead these people if you do not, in front of your eyes, if you do not do what you said you can't do, you'll do it, right? Yeah. It's the why. That's what it is. It's the closing the knowing doing gap is the problem. And that's where I think you see all these books on behavior change and this hack and that hack and the other thing. And what a lot of people don't talk about is discipline. You don't see that.
It's not very sexy. You can't sell
a dirty word, isn't it?
Discipline. You can't sell shit with discipline, self-control, or, you know, that doesn't work, mate. It doesn't work. Don't be silly. Like, and it's so true. I mean, it does work, folks, where I'm being sarcastic, but the thing is that, you know, one of the challenges for you and I, and which is not saying we've got everything figured out at all, but one of the challenges for you and I is that our message is quite often not the message people want to hear.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And so I'm always saying to people, I can tell you what I believe to be the truth. Maybe I'm wrong, but I've worked with tens of thousands of bodies and helped tens of thousands of humans get in shape, right? So it's coming from at least a pretty good fucking guess, right? I can tell you what I believe to be the truth, or I can tell you what's going to make you comfortable, but they're not the same thing. But we, you know, like I did this Facebook Live on, I don't know, Sunday or Saturday. Saturday. And I said to people, look, I'm not, this is going to sound harsh, but I don't really care about your life so much. I'm not interested in helping you have a comfortable life. I'm not interested in helping you have a painless journey. I'm interested in helping you become a fucking weapon so that when shit happens, and shit will happen, because life gives no fucks about your plans or your emotional state or your bank balance or your happiness. It gives no fucks. So that when the shit happens, then you can figure it out. Because you haven't built a comfortable life, you've created a strong, resilient you. And so when you become personally more skilled, more adaptable, more resilient, different mindset, different thinking, different operating system, then when the shit comes, at the very least, you're going to do better in the middle of it. We're so obsessed with building a comfortable environment and situation rather than having the same level of emotional investment in making me strong. How do I become strong? How do I build resilience? How do I perform under pressure? How do I achieve equanimity? How do I manage me in the middle of the unmanageableness of life? How do I invest my energy where I get the best return?
And here's something that people can do, right? All that stuff that you said is bang on. Here's a little exercise that I find really useful for people to do. So if you're listening right now, is pause this, get a pen and paper, right? And then on that pen and paper, you're going to do an 80-year-old self exercise. We probably need to call it a 90-year-old self exercise because we're living a bit longer now, right? But you're 80 or 90, you pick, and you've got your grandkids or your great-grandkids sitting on your knee, right? And you're reflecting back on your life as if your life runs from now, just runs the way it is currently running, right? So all that stuff that you're doing and not doing just plays out. So you're going to go back to, you're going to say to your grandkids, I wish I'd done more of, and you're going to list all the stuff that you wish you'd done more of if your life plays out the way it currently is. And then I wish I'd done less of, right? So, and this is the important thing. You need to do answer those questions as if your life is going to play out the way it normally is. Because a lot of people will say, oh, no, but by that stage, when I retire, I'll be doing this, that, and the other thing. Or next year, I'm going to start exercising, becoming healthier. And we have this optimism bias when it comes to our health, right? Most people, when they're asked, even when they're my age and your age, they're asked, what health are you going to be in 5 years? Everybody thinks they're going to be healthier. Most people, not everybody, but most people think they're going to be healthy. We have this optimism bias around our health and our achievements, right? So that's why it's important to answer that question in the context of your life is going to play out the way that it has been playing out to this point. What would you wish you'd done more of? What would you wish you'd done less of? And I bet you nobody writes, I'd wish I'd done more of Netflix, spending time on social media, right? Those sorts of things. It's a really, really important, they're really, really good questions for people to actually reflect on and kind of take stock of where they're spending a lot of their time.
I love that. And also hitting the pause button metaphorically and going, you know what? This moment in time, listening to this podcast, this moment in time, as I say these words, is the most time you're ever going to have in your life left, right? The most time you're ever going to have in your life is this moment as you hear these words.
That's brilliant. I like that.
Right? You're never going to have ever in your life more time than this moment listening to this podcast with Paul and I, right? So, and also keeping in mind that in a minute you are going to wake up and you will be 5 years older. And it will seem like a moment, because I talk to people all the time who 5 minutes ago was 5 years ago in their mind. And it's being prepared to, in the moment, stop waiting for the right time, the right setting, the right everything. That sometimes we just got to start when we're not ready. Sounds dumb. You just roll up your sleeves and go, listen, I'm not really totally mentally or emotionally prepared, but guess what? Everyone who gets cancer isn't mentally or emotionally prepared. They can't go, fuck, I'll get it next year, right? You just go, oh, fuck, I'm in. That's what I'm doing. You can't say no. So you go, right, but the thing is, you don't have the option of delaying cancer when you get diagnosed, but you do have the option of not getting in shape starting tomorrow. You do have the option of putting off the thing that you should be dealing with or avoiding the conversation you should be having. And now it's 2026 and we're still running the same inner dialogue and the same program and still telling ourselves it's next week or next year.
Yeah.
And now I'm fucking 63. How's that going for you? Because you've literally been in that internal Groundhog Day lying to yourself for fucking decades. And then rather than going, yeah, that's a good point, what I'll do is I'll hate Craig for being so judgy. All right, hate me, but you're still in that same fucking place. Hate me all you want. It doesn't fix your shit life, does it?
And
being angry at other people doesn't fucking help your physical, mental, or emotional health. And if I'm not talking about you, then ignore it. And if I am, you can either get grumpy at me or fucking do something. They're your options. And I don't give a fuck if you're grumpy at me, by the way. It doesn't hurt me, but it hurts you, because now you're getting yourself into a toxic place emotionally and you're producing all these fucking hormones that make you worse. The end.
That was awesome. That was a brilliant tirade. You know, I've got one little thing to add. The only thing I can add to that has any value, because it was a brilliant monologue, is that no one is coming.
Yeah.
No one's coming to sort your shit out ever, right? Yeah. It's all about you, and it's all about the choices that you make starting right now. And I love what you said, that the most time you'll ever have left in your life is right now. So
that's
do
right.
something.
Yeah.
Start, run an experiment.
All right, mate.
The
it's
end.
Always good. Well done, you. Melissa, I feel like you could have given more, but...
Between
just too busy laughing.
I swear. Wow.
Good luck trying to get a word in with us two old fucking Muppets sitting up in the gallery, just banging on, waxing lyrical. Paul Taylor, the Mind, Body, Brain Project is the name of his podcast. Listen to it. It is great. He is great. He interviews lots of, well, everybody smarter than me, which and is me. Not a big ask. Mainly sciencey people who are talking about awesome stuff. So if you haven't subscribed, jump on there and subscribe and follow him on Instagram also. Mind, Body, Brain, is it? Or MBI?
Mind, Body, Brain, PI.
Right, cool.
For Performance Institute, not Private Investigator.
Perfect. Mate, we appreciate you being on the show and for downloading some wisdom as you always do. I feel like we started a bit slow, but we built to a crescendo.
We're certainly a crescendo. There's no doubt. I loved it.
Thanks, mate. Thanks, Melissa. Thanks, everyone. Love you, guts.
Great stuff. Thanks, guys.